What we are talking about is just what we have practiced just now. And when you look at the Bible, when you look at the beginning, if you read the book of Genesis chapter 1, our focus this month is verses 9 and 10. Let's just read verse 9 and 10 quickly. Verse 9 of Genesis chapter 1. When you look at Genesis chapter 1 at a go, you will see God was actually literally building the earth. And as he was building, he was creating boundaries. For example, in verse 9, then God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." So there was a boundary between the waters and the dry land. Verse 10 tells us, "And God called the land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas." But look at God's kind of exclamation here. "And God saw that what? It was good." So it is always good when we have pleasant, godly boundaries. Amen. So I hope you have met a new friend today. In Psalm 16, verse 9, okay, let's read from verse 5. We'll see something there again that the psalmist said. "Oh Lord, you are my portion." Verse 17. Because of time today, I may not go through the whole story. Perhaps just run a few commentary. Exodus chapter 17 from verse 8 to 16. And what is the story we see there? We see the story of the children of Israel, the Israelites. They just came out of captivity. And as they were journeying from the Egyptian captivity, they were going from one place to another place. God himself was guiding them. During the day, he sent a pillar of cloud. So all they needed to do was to look into the sky. They would see a cloud. When the cloud moves, they move. During the night, they will see a pillar of fire. When that fire moves, they move. When the fire stops, they stop. So that was just one way of God guiding them. And, you know, somehow I believe that's one of the wisdom where people got the satellite navigation system from. Do you know how the satellite navigation system works? You are a sailor. Some of us have got navigating system on our phones now, Google Maps and all that, where all you need to do is just set where you're going and then it starts directing you. But do you know how it works? There's actually a satellite that's inside the space, the outer space. I think I should give you the microphone and give us a lecture of on navigating. You know, so from that satellite, what's it that they put there? It's called something that they put in the space. Satellite. So the satellite just beams on the earth and captures all the maps and everything. So from that satellite, if you have a navigating system, it just gives direction from the sky to your system and tells you where to go. Cloud in the sky, pillar of fire in the sky. That's God's navigating system. Somebody once came up with one acronym or name for God. You know, people call God all sorts of names now, 21st century. But I've never heard this one before. He said, "Jehovah Satnav." Jehovah Satnav. I've heard of Jehovah Rapha. I've heard of Jehovah Rohi. I've heard of Jehovah Sikenu. But a new one, Jehovah Satnav. Well, I don't know about that. But there's a principle. So in Exodus, they left. God was guiding them. And then suddenly they got to this place. The place is known as Rephidim. You can just be showing that scripture. Yeah. Rephidim. They got to a place called Rephidim. And then one nation called Amalek decides to attack them. They were going quietly. They were going harmlessly. Mind you, these are people who just left captivity. They were slaves in a country for 430 years. Think about that. Some people who have been enslaved, some were born into slavery, all they ever knew was slavery. So imagine the kind of mindset and thinking they had. And now they left captivity where they were battered, bruised, and maltreated. And as they were going, now I got a very good statistics of how many they were. So please bring Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. Let's see this picture. Please, I need all the children. Please, if you have your child with you and your child can write, I want to give them a test. It's just the same test we did 2 weeks ago. So please remind me. Please, if you can hand your children something to write on, maybe a piece of paper. Some of them have notebooks. I don't think they are notebooks. Children, let me apologize to you. We will start having your classes, your Sunday school. We're just still building. You know, we just moved here. We have all the classes ready, so please don't think the classes are not there. The classes, we have more space. We have all the facilities ready. So we will move you, but just bear with us. We will start your classes in May. So we'll start again in May. Okay, so now, please, just help me with the children. Because they are all, I'm going to ask them to step outside. So just give them something to write. And those who can read and write. And if your child is struggling to read and write, in the name of Jesus, the amendment starts from now. In the name of Jesus. Your child will read. Your child will write. In the name of Jesus. I am saying it with every conviction and every experience. I'm not just talking. Not just talking. All right? Let me just digress because I just like talking from my place of pain and experience at times. You see, this is our Joshua. This is our Joshua here. I think for the first 5 or 6 years of his life, he couldn't read. He couldn't write. And even if you spoke to him, he wasn't responding. That's the way he was for the first 5, 6 years of his life. Not many people knew because we were always bringing him to church. But right now, please Joshua, come. Come. Please, can you read what's on the screen?
Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children.
All right, go and sit down, boy. Then slowly, he began to read. And what he was reading, he couldn't comprehend, but he could read. Slowly, he began to talk. Slowly, and all the lines began to fall into pleasant places. So, if your child is struggling to read and to write, and you are worried, I say to you in the name of Jesus, that child receives comprehension from now. So, this was the statistics. 600,000 men left slavery. That was just men. Now, this man had women. Maybe not all were married, but some were married because there were children. Let's even say some were not even married, they were partners. They produced children. So that means there were men. So if there were 600,000 men, we have women. And then we have children. But it didn't stop there. Look at the next verse. And a mixed multitude went up with them also. So besides 600,000 men, women, children, there was also now a mixed multitude. Now, I don't want to talk much about the mixed multitude, but let me tell you, that's the picture usually that life presents to us. There are situations in life. Have you ever used this term before? Things are mixed up right now. It's a state of confusion. So when you have a mixed multitude following you, I can guarantee you the mixed multitude will always create confusion. They will always be the troublesome people. Trouble, because they are a mixed multitude. Okay, but let's move on. So I want us to picture how many people all together that could have been. I can bet you they were close to a million or over a million people. Now they were walking. They just came out of captivity. Some people were going in front, some people were at the back. The ones who were at the back were the weak people. They were the old people. They were the maybe pregnant women who couldn't catch up, but they were all going. And then Amalek decides to attack them. He attacked, this nation called Amalek, attacked them in a place where they were resting. Rephidim literally means rest, a place of rest. And in that place, they just had a little problem because there was no water initially. And they were murmuring, they were complaining, God gave them water. And then Amalek attacks them. And the Amalek went to attack the weaker people. Please, picture the life of these Israelites and replace it with your own life. It is at the place where you're resting, where you just had a little breakthrough, and you are thanking God. Thank God. Thank God. And then you want to relax a bit, and then you drop your guard. That's when the enemy attacks. When you are resting after a major breakthrough. So watch it. Don't drop your guard. That's why the Bible says we should pray without ceasing. Always pray. Paul said, I would that all men, that men will pray everywhere. Everywhere. So there's not just a place to pray. Don't say it's when I come to service on a Sunday, I will pray. When I come for Bible study on a Thursday, I will pray. Or please just tell me when there's a special service in your church, I will come and will pray. Special prayer service. Excuse me, please. I'm saying this, and I say it with due respect. When people say things like this to me, oh, please just tell us when you have a special program in your church, we will come. I don't take such people serious. You're not serious with your Christian life and faith. And if you are looking and always looking for a special program in some special church, and then you go, and then you are deceiving yourself. It's in that place the enemy will attack. Please tell your new friend beside you, there's no special place for special programs. And please tell them there's no special place for special prayers either. Let your heart be God's altar where you commune with God every time. So, Amalek attacks. Who did Amalek attack? He attacked. Who left captivity? He left. He attacked the men. He attacked the women. He attacked the children. And he attacked the mixed multitude. So please understand this. So what do we want to look at today? I trust that in a very few minutes, I will be able to establish relationships, because what we just did practically was to kind of build, at least spark a relationship with someone today. And then we'll see how we can relate so that we can be united to fight a common battle. Whether you're a man, you're a woman, you're a child, or you're a mixed multitude, when Amalek attacks, he doesn't spare anybody. And Amalek will always attack when? When you are resting. After a breakthrough, when you just come, wow, I've been praying for 45 years. Finally, I got married. Hallelujah. And then the challenges of marriage hit you. At the place of rest. Right after you come down from the honeymoon, from the moon, and the honey expired, from the moon, the reality of life and marriage starts hitting you. On that day of your wedding, you danced and danced and danced and danced and danced. I'm not making fun of people, but you see, I go to weddings now and I just see that it seems like people are more interested in doing choreography at their weddings. It's all over YouTube, you know. Just see all of them come here. Please, I'm not saying don't dance, but please keep dancing. When the realities of marriage hit you also, dance and pray. Pray and dance. As you are dancing, pray. As you are praying, dance. Just don't stop praying. Don't say, I'm married now. I'm married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. When you are married to Jesus, then you become number one enemy of Satan. He's not going to leave you alone. He will leave you alone maybe for a season. But he will look for that season that you are resting. Please understand something today. So what I'm trying to establish here is that whatever you are, we have a common enemy. Amalek will fight, will strike. The enemy does not respect anybody. So this fight broke out. Fight broke out. And then what happened? How are they going to confront these people now who fought them? And then we now see Moses, who was the leader. You know, one thing about leadership is that the buck will always stop with you. Things that is not even directly your fault will be your fault. Somebody does not love their wives. They say it's the pastor. He didn't teach them well. If we understand how we relate, we will understand how to fight. We have a common enemy. That's why we must always be united to fight. That is why, look, let all the artificial, superficial boundaries just come down. And let's unite. Because Amalek will fight. So, God now gave a simple strategy. And what was this strategy? You will see. Moses simply told Joshua. Now listen. What did Moses tell Joshua? He told Joshua, he said, choose from among the men to go and fight these Amalekites. Choose. So what that translates to is that it was not every man that went to fight. Do you understand? Yeah. Please tell somebody it's not every battle that you should go and fight directly. Choose. Have you seen that scripture? Choose us some men to go out. Not all men. And then what did he say he will do? Tomorrow, I, Moses, I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Moses went on top of the hill with the rod of God. Joshua went with chosen men to go and fight the Amalekites. Now, to some people who can think and use their brain, what is the correlation? You have a rod in your hand on top of the mountain and you are sending Joshua on a suicide mission to go and fight. So what's the relationship? I can't get it. I don't see it. But that was the strategy. But something had happened. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 11. And so it was when Moses, this is the relationship between Moses on top of the hill raising his hand and Joshua in the valley fighting. Anytime Moses' hand was up, what happened? Israel, they will win. They will be prevailing and winning the battle. Anytime Moses' hand goes down, they will lose. All right, please, where are all the children? Can all the children with their writing materials just come and line up here? Just come out, come out. Please, let's celebrate all these children. Just come. I need a few children to come. All right, children, please, where are they? Please celebrate all these children. Please turn around. No, no, no. Okay, face mommies and daddies. All right, face them. Face them. Okay? Please repeat after me. Dear daddies and mommies.
Dear daddies and mommies.
Anytime your hand is up.
Anytime your hand is up.
We will win.
We will win.
And anytime your hand is down. It affects us. So dear daddy and mommy, please can you lift up your holy hands? Please tell them, daddy and mommies, please tell them hands up. Okay, tell them to keep it up. Watch them. Watch when their hands go down. Okay, just joking. Please put your hands down. You know, it gets to a point after you've put your hand up, your hand will get weary. You are human, excuse me. No matter the power of the rod of God in your hand, you are still a human being. So, the exercise I want these children to do now will help me because I want to split us into three groups. One, two, and three. All right. So, children, this is what you're going to do. Those of you who have something to write with, I'm going to ask you to turn around. Not now. They will show something on the screen. I know some of you were here 2 weeks ago. Just tell me what you see and write what you see down. Do you get it? No, no, you remember from last week. Erase. I reformat your hard disk. So on the screen, Auntie there is going to display something. Just write the sentence you see. It's a sentence, but it's all put together. Do you understand? Yes. Do you understand?
Yes.
No, that's not how you say it in school. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
All right. You know in school you will call me uncle, okay? Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Wow, these children are smart. Please clap for them. Clap for them. Are we ready? Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay, Auntie displayed. Children, turn around. You have only 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's gone. So what did you see? Write the sentence you saw. Okay. Auntie, for the sake of those who are here, flash it again. Okay, I'll give you 5 seconds again. 1, 2, 3, 4. She doesn't have a pen. Whatever you do, can you remember what you saw? Okay, write it, please. Write it. Please, daddies and mommy, keep your hands up and be praying for your children now. Pray that they get it. Pray they get it. Okay? All right, some are still writing. Don't worry, your time will come. Oh, why is she crying? She's not, why are you crying? Just tell me why you're crying, and I'll, she's not got a pen. Oh, please give the lovely lady a pen. Oh, sorry, that's a pen. Oh, sorry. Come. I'll give you a table, a special table. Oh, daddy, please. Okay. Yes, daddy. Daddy, keep your hand up, okay? Oh, sorry. Oh, Daddy, you're allowed to write for her. Whatever you saw, write it for her. Don't worry. Or ask her what she saw. Don't worry. Your time is coming, okay? Now, let me tell you a little story while these children were waiting for them. I think I traveled, you know, to Nigeria in October last year. And I purposed in my heart that I wanted to find out some stories, some history from my parents about themselves, but more especially about me. That I wanted to know a little bit about my childhood. And they told me some things that shocked me. Now, my parents told me that they were very worried. I mean, I heard some things for the first time. For the first time in my over 50 years on this planet Earth, that my parents told me about me, I didn't know. They told me that they were worried I did not talk on time. I did not walk on time. And then on top of that, I wasn't eating. So they said I'll just be in one corner. And they were worried. Then I now remember the picture I saw when I was a baby. We're around one. I went for a one-year-old birthday of a friend of mine. And I noticed that all my age mates in that picture could sit down properly. But I noticed that there was like two aunties holding me. So it now made sense. All my age mates hit every milestone a child should hit very early and when they should, but I didn't. They were worried. I couldn't talk. I couldn't walk. I wasn't eating. I looked at that picture. I'm the only one who's a preacher today. In that picture I saw about 48 years ago, the picture, I have it. I'm the only one who's a preacher who's talking. You know, a preacher talk. I've not stopped talking. If you don't stop me from talking, I will talk till 2 p.m. today, too. And then, fast forward, by the time we were all 10, 9 years old, all my age mates who were walking when I couldn't walk, running when I couldn't walk, cannot catch me. I became the fastest runner in my primary school. Fastest. Nobody could catch me. What am I saying? Excuse me. The race is not to the first person that walks. The preacher is not to the first person, or the orator. It's not to the first child that spoke. For those of us with children or expecting children, please make up your mind from today. You will never compare your child to anybody. Even if you have 10 children, don't compare any one of them. Every child is unique, original, and God has made everything beautiful for them in their time. Okay, children, are we ready?
Yes, Uncle.
Only her got it. Are you ready?
Yes, Uncle.
Thank you. But my name is not Uncle, okay? All right, so what did you see? Okay, now, good. All right, you stand here. The strategy for the battle was that when Moses' hand is raised, Joshua is fighting and winning. But Moses, as a human being, stood by observation. All they did, let me say something before I talk about Aaron and Ur. Do you know when Moses was up on that mountain with his rod up, he could not see what was going on in the valley. He couldn't. Because he was busy in the spirit. Some of us are like that. We pray, and we know that we love to pray. But after some time, we get weary. We can't see our prayers working. So we stop praying. Because I've been praying, I can't see what's happening in the valley. You know, some of us are so spiritual, we don't see. No, we don't see. Your head is just buried in the spirit. You know, I know somebody that someone accused one time and said, I can't even talk to this person. You can't talk. It's always serious. Always serious. God bless you. God bless you. Have you met people like that? God bless you. They won't even look at you. God bless you. They are always in the mosaic anointing. But they will get weary after some time. You pray. You can't see what is happening in the valley. So you stop praying. And because you can't see what's happening in the valley, you stop praying. And because you stop praying, what you didn't know that as you were praying, things were happening that you could not see. But thank God for Aaron and all. They could see between Moses and Joshua. And they could see the relationship. Now listen, there was a boundary between Moses and Joshua. Because Moses was where? On the hill. Where was Joshua? In the valley. So there was a boundary between the spiritual and the physical. Moses represents the spiritual. Joshua represents the physical. Now, what bridges the spiritual and the physical? Please, somebody say the intellectual. AKA, that is also known as using your brain. Please say using your brain. Now, in the battles of life, just understand this. If this is all you understand, if this is all, Kamsi, are you with me? God bless you, bro. Are we? Give me. No, Kamsi, you didn't hear me. Thumbs up. Good. If this is all you will hear, in the battles of life, I must fight every battle on three fronts. Prayer, use my brain, and do something. Can I repeat? So that you can follow me. Let me come again. Are you following me with the camera? Okay. Say prayer.
Prayer.
Use my brain.
And do something.
Okay, let's qualify it. Whatever confronts me in life, everybody, whatever confronts me in life, I will always pray about it. And then think about it. And then do something about it. Some of us have a boundary. We just pray, boundary, and don't do anything. Some of us, we pray, no boundary. We don't even think about what we're doing. Pray, forget it. That's for Doc and all of them. It's not for me. No, not for Doc, because Doc corrected me the other day. Doc uses his brain more. That's why he can do brain surgery. We don't think. We don't pray. Or some of us, we do. Yes, we think. But we don't pray because we say, well, God gave us a brain. Why should I pray? Excuse me. You will grow weary. Every battle in life, anything that confronts me, please repeat after me. I will pray about it. I will think about it. And I will do something about it. Every battle, when you look at it, when Moses engaged the spiritual. Joshua engaged the physical. One was affecting the other, and it will forever affect each other if you and I don't apply what is known as our gray matter. Do you think that gray matter between your earlobes is a decoration? Okay. How do you read the Bible? What do you apply when you are reading the Bible? Your mind. If your mind is not sound, can you read the Bible? You probably read the Bible and you won't be able to even interpret it. That's why the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. But the spirit of love. Do you know what love is? Love is not in word only. Don't tell me you love me. I'm hungry. I came to you. You have food in your kitchen. You didn't give me, but you say, God bless you. I love you. You know I love you. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see all over you. Hold somebody. I've held you and I've told you, I love you. I've lifted hands together, but go in peace. I'm not sharing my barbecue with you. Fear. The Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love. Action. We do something. The Bible says don't love in word only, but in deed. Spirit of love and of power and a sound mind. Can you see the relationship between the spiritual, the intellectual, and the physical? Next time you pray about something, time will fail me. I can't go into all the scriptures I wanted to show us. Next time you pray about something, please pray also this way, that God should help you to think about it the way you ought to think about it. Is that complicated? The Bible says what things soever are true, just, lovely, pure, of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Let me tell you what collapses relationships. See, God has given us, like I said, time is going to fail me, but I want us to deal with relationships also. What collapses relationships, especially in a church setting, is because we don't think about the way Jesus said we should handle offenses. We don't think. Some of us act quickly. Look at the way he spoke to me. I am not talking to him anymore. Facebook, block. Instagram, delete. What's the other one? Twitter. Snap, you snap the person out of your chat. We are laughing. I've seen a very ridiculous one. The first time I said it, my wife told me, if you say this thing, the people know who you are talking about. Let them know who I'm talking about. They've grown up now. Husband and wife, the moment they fight, they will block each other on Facebook, block each other on Twitter, block, and they sleep in the same house. That's what I call unpleasant boundary. I had to call them. Are you people for real? Those are the kind of people you should actually say this statement to. And you call yourself Christians. I don't know, maybe there's a Facebook blocker here, husband. Twitter blocking wife here. Please hear this word today. and repent. Please, if you think I'm talking about you, I'm talking about you. Without any apology. This is the word of God. We don't think about how Jesus said we should handle offenses. So we just act once we are offended. I'm not coming to that church again. You are not going anywhere. You know. Just joking. That's Super Mario. Doctor. See, somebody's Googling your name. Somebody watching. You know, people are very smart now. Once you just mention it, Google. Have you Googled me before? Just joking. Act. We don't think. Look at this. Look at that. I was doing a review of, a book I wrote last year, The What's By Thoughts. And one of the quotes in there that God gave me some years ago was born out of an experience. The quote says that don't wait for God or people to humble you. Humble yourself. Do you know that's what the scripture says? So I shared the story of when I went, my best man was getting married. And he called me because I led him to Christ. So we had an unusual bond. He wanted me to be an officiating minister, one of the officiating ministers in his church. But I don't know his church. I don't go to his church. We just meet in the workplace. So on the day of his wedding, I got there early, dressed in my pastoral anointed suit. And I walked in. Nobody was there. They were still arranging. And I went and I introduced myself to the usher in this wedding. Said, okay, welcome. Then he said I should go in. He gave me a copy of the program and pointed me to go and sit in the pews. You know, the pew is where the congregation sit. So, okay, I said, okay, maybe it's just so that until they gather everybody and then they tell me where the vestry is as a man of God so I could carry my Bible and stroll into the vestry. So, they put everything, wedding was about to start. And I noticed there were four seats on the altar. Three men who looked like men of God were ushered on the three seats. I was sitting in the pew. I said, I know that fourth seat is definitely my own. Because on the program, there were four officiating ministers. I was number four. Excuse me, why are you looking at me? If it was you, wouldn't you think that way? Okay. So I was getting restless where I sat. My friend officiating me, pastor, sit, pew. No, officiating. No, my friend, no, I can't disappoint. Hey, it was wedding. No. So I went back to the usher. I said, excuse me, I'm pastor so-and-so. I'm one of the officiating ministers. See, that's my name, right? And I was looking, trying to point him that the officiating ministers are seated. The guy looked at me. You need to see the way he looked at me. Say, yes, I know. Go and sit down there. If it was you, what would you do? I lost my anointing. I lost my swagger. I just went to sit down. Even become a pastor. I was just watching. After the wedding, I just made sure my friend saw that I came. Till tomorrow, he didn't know I didn't come for his reception. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. But while I was there, I was thinking. A scripture came to my thinking. When you are invited to a wedding, go and sit on the lower seat. So that when they see you, when your friend sees you, say, then they will bring you to the high seat in front of all of them. That is what the Bible says. I did not think. I went there to introduce myself. Please tell somebody, you will learn humility by force if you don't choose. Let me close. Think. Jesus said, when you have issues with somebody, I'm simplifying it, go to that person first. And please, when you are going, think about the way Jesus said you should go. You are going there for reconciliation. Not that you are going to give that person a piece of my mind today. Look at what you did. Look at what you texted. Look at what you posted on Facebook. You think I don't know it's me you are talking about? You are not going in the spirit of reconciliation. You are going in the spirit of Joshua to fight. If your mind is not sound yet, so sit down, think. God, help me. Uncle AY. Annoyed me. Lord, help me to calm down before I go and tell him. And please, don't go to the pastor. Did the Bible say you should go to the pastor? No. Please, can we think? I'm begging you. Can we think? Don't go to the pastor. Or don't go to the pastor's wife. Don't even go to any of the ministers in the church. Go to your brethren. It's when you've tried to reconcile and they don't want to reconcile. He even says call 2 or 3. And just go. The 2 and 3 of you is not to go and fight. Don't go and call 2 or 3 people who you know have something against AY. Because they will readily follow you. They are waiting for their pound of flesh. 2 or 3 people who will follow you to go and reconcile. Even though you are right. Forget it. You are in the right. If he doesn't listen to 2 or 3 of you, then you can call the elders in the church, the ministers. You can come to the pastor. But we don't think on that, and we start creating enmity, friction, and then we start creating division. And guess what? Amalek will come and hit all of us. We expose ourselves to the enemy because we don't think and act on the scriptures. It's when we have that unity, we can fight together. But you must understand your role. Some of us are very good at thinking, like I showed us 2 weeks ago. Some of us are very good at praying. Some of us are very good at action. Just tell us what to do. We will do it. But you can't do it without thinking. You can't do it very well without thinking and praying. Please, let's just hold it there. Let's pray. I sense the spirit of reconciliation in the air. I sense the spirit of why Jesus died. The whole purpose of Jesus dying was forgiveness. Reconciling us, the offenders, to God. You have something against somebody, or somebody has something against you. This is a good Easter message. Otherwise, our faith is in vain. Otherwise, when the battles of life confront every one of us, because one person breaks ranks, the enemy can penetrate. Let's pray. Please, just take a few minutes. What are you? Pray. Remember 3 things. Pray, think, and act. After hearing this message, don't be a forgetful hearer. That's what the Bible says. Make up your mind before you walk out of this door. I am going to do this. I'm going to do that. Do you know some people who have offended you don't even know they offended you? You are just holding grudges and having hypertension, and no tension. They can't even feel your pulse anymore. You are dying. Over what? Over what? Brethren. Brethren, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. I'm praying right now. Lord, I pray that this message, this word, will bring healing, will bring deliverance. And Holy Spirit, I pray for every power, every spirit of confusion, every spirit of manipulation. I come against that crafty witchcraft spirit trying to manipulate the minds of the people of God. God has given you a sound mind. I reject with you right now that spirit of manipulation. I come against that spirit of depression. I come against that unclean spirit manipulating your mind, polluting your mind, whispering into your ears, into your mind, offenses. In the name of Jesus, right now, be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We raise a standard of the Spirit of God, the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than that of Abel. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. You principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world will resist you right now and stop all your activity in our lives. Right now, in the name of Jesus, please everybody rise up. Just hold the person right, left, center. All you are just simply going to do, please, any prayer that comes to your heart, pray for them. Any prayer that comes to your mind. You don't know what to pray for. You are holding somebody, just hold them. Whatever comes to your mind, pray. God bless you. God bless you. Just pray for them. I'm not saying pray for yourself now. Pray for them. You don't know what to pray for, but something is on your mind. Just pray. Pray about it. This is Love Assembly. Lord, we love you. We love one another with the love of the Lord. We are people of love. We are people of power. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just pray. If anything is coming to your mind to do for that person you are holding, just note it in your mind. Something is telling you to do something. I'm deliberate about what I'm saying now. Something has dropped in your mind. That person you are holding their hands to do for them. It may be something as simple as just give them £5 or something. Or just take their account number. Or just give them something. Whatever. Or say something nice to them. Action. God is working on our minds and our thinking. And Lord, I pray as we hold hands, anyone amongst us who is not saved, anyone amongst us who has not received the Lord Jesus, I pray they will find space in their hearts right now. They will drop their hearts' agenda and follow your agenda. I pray, Holy Spirit, breathe upon every heart right now. Breathe. Oh God, sanctify us. We are your people. We fight together. We win together. We raise up standards together. We fight. We think. Lord, we are impregnable. We are your people. We are your church. We are the sheep of your pasture. Glory be to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please, just one last instruction that just came to my mind now. Some of us met someone new or whatever at the start. Just purpose in your heart to do something for that person you just met today. So I don't know what it is, but just follow your heart. Okay? Is that understood?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. What next? Okay. So we will be playing the announcements.